There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Friday. And we're live in Daphne at Bryant Bank. We're going to talk about what brings us here in just a second. But a quick reminder, you can get in touch with the show through the Mallory Piping text line at 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, you can use that number for good old-fashioned phone calls. And the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you look right there on the front page, you'll see a microphone icon. If you press that, it lets you record a message, and it will then send it to the station. We can play it back here on the air. Maybe it's this show. Maybe it's some of the other shows during the week, every day of the week, live shows, 56 hours a week of live local shows coming from FM Talk 106.5. So if you want to chime in on that, you can at 343-0106 or through the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, I mentioned we are in Daphne, and like I said, so Amanda Gray, who's a branch manager here in Daphne, thanks for having us out.
Yes, absolutely. We're happy to have y'all.
I was saying to Greg when I pulled up here, I didn't know what to expect. So I, you know, I've done a lot of radio broadcasts from a lot of different places. I had never been at a pet adoption for a radio broadcast. I show up and I'm walking around. I said, that kennel's empty. Did y'all adopt that dog? He said, yeah, we adopted that dog and a couple more, and we brought new dogs here. Mm-hmm. And I said, holy cow. And I'm looking at the kitten, the cages, mm-hmm. the empty cages. Y'all have been, it's been successful here.
It has been very successful. We actually had 10 kittens starting at the end of the beginning of the day, and all of them have been adopted already. We actually had 2 dogs adopted. They actually went and got more from the shelter.
That's awesome.
So we've got a couple others that people are still visiting, and we've got about 3 left that people should come on out because they are the sweetest
yes,
animals.
They are cute and sweet. These dogs are awesome. And that, you know, I started to like talk to Greg about this. I think it's, and this is a tell here, this is a great location.
Yes.
Where the bank is. It's absolutely a very convenient location. Animal shelters usually aren't on high traffic corners like Bryant Bank is. So I think what y'all have done is really a blessing, because people say, I would like to adopt a pet, but I'm not by there or whatever. But now they're like, well, heck, I'm going by the bank, or I'm going to be right here at lunch. You just made it easy, and you see what happens when you make it easy. People go, okay, yeah, I've been toying with this idea, and let me get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually been really been a blessing, too. We actually had some people come out and sponsor as well as with us, so that there was no adoption fees, actually, for all those pets that got adopted. So it was fabulous.
That's awesome. Because, yes. Yeah, people were asking me on the text line about that, so it's already been taken care of.
Yes, Bryant Bank actually was paying for portions of it, and we also had some others come out to sponsor as well. So, I mean, it's been great. I mean, there's no cost. And we had Waggytail that came over and donated a bunch of stuff for you to have for that first little friendly thing for your animal.
This is awesome. You were telling me about your pet.
Yes, I actually have a dog at home that I actually got from Daphne Animal Shelter years ago, and we absolutely adore her. So much so, I actually was trying to convince Greg for us to get a comfort dog for the branch.
I think I will second that. You
yes.
got me on your side. Greg, I know you're listening. I think it would be awesome. And my buddy Michael Holland back in Mobile will bring you one as well. When I come, because I was talking to Greg about it. I bank with y'all, or business banks with y'all. And so when I tell people about working with a local bank, what that means for me, it means knowing y'all's names, also y'all knowing my name, mm-hmm. you know, and to pull up and have the people at the Mobile location know me, mm-hmm. not a number, they know me, and then the ability to say, hey, we need checks for the businesses or business, or I need personal, I need this and that, and not saying, okay, well, here's the where you go. Somebody at the bank takes care of it, calls me back, and says it's done.
Yeah, that's a big part. We really want everyone to feel like their family, not just our employees, but our clients as well. And when they come in the door, we love asking them, how was that vacation that you've been planning for 6 months that we've been talking about? How was it? Tell us about it. What'd you do? What was the most exciting part? And
that's
everything
pretty
like
cool.
That.
Well, and I think what, you know, there's a lot of people are waking up and coming to, you know, Bryant Bank, a local bank, because their bank left them behind. Mm-hmm. You know, and I talked about how we did this. I was with the bank, my family had always banked with them, you know, over the years, a big Mobile bank name, it had bought up, mm-hmm. and by the second iteration of it, I didn't even know any of the people in there,
yep.
You know, and I mean, I had, you know, family members have been, I mean, banking for decades there, and then I didn't know anybody in there, and they didn't know me, and the best they could do is give me an 800 number, an online thing to go to, and I mean, I was over it.
Yeah. I mean, a big thing is you want to have the conveniences and those wonderful things like online banking and the call-in option to be able to get your balance and stuff if you need it and stuff like that. But at the same time, you want that personal touch. So I think we do a really good blend of that. And one example I love giving is that if you have a question on online banking, when you message on that online banking app, it doesn't just go to a random warehouse. It goes literally to your local bank, mm-hmm. and it's me at the branch that's responding, and my other desk associates, it's us responding to you. So you know the person you're talking to, whether you message, whether you call, whether you come in.
Yep. No, that's true, because, I mean, you look, yeah, I could open up the old man Android phone right here of mine, and there's, you know, there's a Bryant Bank app on mm-hmm. there. I use that, but also I can call and get stuff done.
Yes. Yes.
Like, and that is... like it's huge. It's like I want to go, I'm not real good at this, mm-hmm. you know, and with those big banks before, I'm like, I'm not good at this, y'all are, and they're like, oh well.
Yeah, no, it's a big, that personal touch is a big part, and we want you to have that from start to finish. I mean, whether it's just going to get a balance, whether it's opening an account, whether it's a scary situation and it's fraud that's happening, mm-hmm. we want to be there and have that personal touch to walk you through it and help you.
Yeah, the fraud thing, too. And I deal more with Michael in Mobile. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's got the message out that airs on the station about the fraudsters are constant. I mean, y'all got to be in this world. It's like the old arms races, you know, mm-hmm. Of the 80s and 90s and 2000s. Mm-hmm. Y'all do one thing and the fraudsters are like, they got nothing to do but come up with another way, then y'all got to beat that.
It's a battle every day. We come up with something just as quick as we can, and they're coming up with it just as quick to come around it. So it's making sure that we're staying up to date and keeping the clients up to date as much as humanly possible. But, you know, that's kind of the world where we are with technology these days. It's great when it's working. It's great when it's in your court, but it's yep. also things you got to be, you know, on guard.
Yeah, you can't ever go to sleep and say, well... dust that off. Well, we'll worry about that in another 5 years. It's something y'all got to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the history of this bank, too, and talking to Greg about it and Michael over the years, that with Paul Bryant Jr. starting this bank mm-hmm. and saying, we're not for sale, and it's part of you know, y'all's ads, mm-hmm. saying you're not for sale, that means a lot because I know that banks are things other banks like to buy. It's, you know, if I had whatever widget shop that nobody wanted the widget, and I said, we're not for sale. Well, okay, well, nobody wants to buy you. But banks are like the buyingest, consolidationist thing out there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so for y'all to say not for sale and be a private company, that means a lot because I know the offers come in.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll also say this. It's he lives it and breathes it, Mr. Bryant does, because, I mean, literally this weekend we're hosting a big family picnic that he's having on his own farm for everyone in the company and family, pets, everything. We're all invited up there, and that's an annual thing we do every year. And it's a blessing to be a part of it, and I enjoy it every minute, and I'm excited to celebrate our 20th anniversary this year as well.
That's awesome. Thinking about the personal banking side, but also the business banking side. Think about where you're sitting at this corner right here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need to tell anybody, no news flash. Baldwin County has grown in the last 20 years in an incredible amount.
Yep.
And that involves building, involves mm-hmm. stores, businesses. I mean, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all service those customers.
We do. And I will say that it's just growing substantially. And being on this corner, it's so nice because we're getting to have the benefit of helping the south portion of the County and then the northern portion as well. But being in the area that we are, it makes it so easy so we can help those businesses and those customers just for their personal needs as well. And being out on the 98, it really makes it convenient for you to be able to get in for us to help you, whether you're able to come in here straightforward or just calling us on the phone.
Okay. So how'd you arrive here? At Bryant Bank?
I actually started my career at a little bit larger of a bank, but it didn't have as much of a personal touch. And I knew I wanted to come to Bryant Bank because my dad actually banked here.
Okay.
And
like
so my dad knew I wanted to come, and one of the lenders that he's really good friends with mentioned there was a Bryant Bank manager position, and he knew I wanted to be over here. So he's like, hey, you should go put your application in for that. So that's
like
how
it.
I came. So I've been here almost 4 years now, and it's been absolutely the best choice I ever made.
It's good stuff, and it's great to see y'all in 20 years.
Mm-hmm, 20 years.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
And expanded. I know the new footprint for Mobile,
mm-hmm.
Saw that going in. That's
yes.
going to be wow.
And we're excited. That's going to be a three-story branch over there. So we're going to have a big community room in that one as well, because we actually have a community room in our office.
A community room? What do you use it
It's
for?
Just a big, very big open room that we do offer out to different individuals that may need it, whether it's for usually nonprofits. And
yeah.
It's great because the clients use it, the community uses it. It's just theirs. An extra bonus.
All right, Michael Holland, listen, I'm eyeing that one up for Mobile. This is good stuff. I mean, thanks for having us out.
Yes, sir.
And good luck here. 2 o'clock is a cutoff, but if you find that special dog or cat, I'm sure they can work with you after hours.
Absolutely.
All right, man, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along on this Friday. And catch up with you over at the Mallory Piping text line, 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call. And a reminder to the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can leave it, leave a talkback message using that. All right, let me get some of these texts here. And first up, let's see, we'll go to Chris right here in Daphne. I said, this is, of course, in reference to Alabama House and Senate inability to get a damn thing done. They do this. I just want to be clear about it. They do this. And the thing that stinks is so many local bills, because the way our system is set up, have to go back up through Montgomery, and they just run out of time. And sometimes they find a bill they want to talk about, but they don't ever want to vote on. And those seem to have running out of time. So let's see. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This is earlier from Chris said, hey, Sean, the Catholic Church has something called a conclave where we lock everybody into a room and they don't get to go home until the job is done. What do you think? I'd like to see it. Of course, this is in reference to the Alabama House and Senate inability to get a damn thing done. Yeah, and I think, now I know different bills are of different importance to different people. But you know, quite often in session, it's the budget bills that go to the end that frustrates me. And yes, I have, if you've been listening long enough, I have a fiscal conservative lean to me, you think. And I'd like to see that stuff done first. I tell my children forever, you don't get to ice a cake until you bake it. You got to do the baking it part. Just get that done. Then you get the fun of icing it. So get those bills done. But the order gets all screwed up there, for sure. Let's see. Oh, Bob Dog said, just put on your uniform and make me a cup of coffee. That's from Bob Dog. Listen, not a consumer of Starbucks. I do know that it's popular. People like it. I'm not like anti. I'm just not a coffee person. But it just stood out to me, that national story about the Starbucks strike, and you start thinking about unions and the things that, you know, like I said, there's plenty of unions I take exception to, but not all. And if you look back in history and the things that were done by unions to protect people's limbs and life in a workplace, you know, from coal mining to meat packing to heavy industry to now, I wonder if we went and took the time machine back to those coal miners that actually took up arms, right, against the Pinkertons. I don't know if you ever read that deep history out of West Virginia, what happened there, what they had to fight for, and now what would they say, seeing like the Starbucks baristas don't like their new outfits, so they're going on strike. Oh, my gosh. The Mariner said, we need to quit saying we are pro-deepening and widening the channel unless we are acceptable to the unrepairable damage to our home that will take place. I heard that too many times last night at the meeting, and it's only because they're scared of the power brokers in this town. I'm not, Mariner. I'm not scared of the power brokers in this town, but I am a pro-Mobile and pro-the port. That's a big deal, right? I mean, the port is a big deal. You can do both. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. There are other, like William Strickland's been on here talking about it with me in the past. He's with Mobile Baykeeper. And we talk about other ports in the country that are doing it this way. So it's not like we're asking for something that hasn't happened. I want to read this too. I've got, and I don't think it's embargoed anymore. Let me see if it ever was. So this comes from the port. Okay, and this is from Maggie Oliver over at the port, and she's always been good to talk with me and answer questions and what's going on. This is, and I can read some of this. It's quite lengthy, but this is a response from the port. This came out yesterday afternoon. So, the head of Baykeeper's community meeting tonight. I'm writing to provide background information on Mobile Bay dredging operations, which are vital to keep the ship channel open for commerce. So the port currently has two primary dredging needs, construction and maintenance. We know that. So that's making the newly widened and deepened channel and then keeping it at that depth, right? It takes the constant dredging because nature doesn't want that channel to be there. It said construction dredging work is associated. Okay, we know that part. It's work associated with deepening and widening the ship channel. The project's on time and on budget and will conclude mid-summer. Material dredge for this project is either being used beneficially or taken offshore. Thin layer placement and upland disposal are not dredge material management methods used for construction of the channel. And once again, we've been talking about what's coming up, right? It says maintenance dredging is ongoing work and required to keep the ship channel at its authorized depths, sub 40 feet in the upper harbor and minus 40 in the upper harbor and minus 50 in the lower harbor. Says dredge material. There are four options for what to do with maintenance material dredge from the Mobile Ship Channel. Those four options are beneficial use. Okay, so that is projects like we've talked about, whether it be like the project there going on the causeway to Dolphin Island, filling in, maybe one day creating marsh, doing these things. Upland disposal. Okay, that's just getting rid of it. I mean, just piling it up. Offshore disposal. Now, we've talked about that in the past. That's that beneficial use area where they take it offshore and let it. And you get different kind of dredge materials. Obviously, it's siltier and muddier up at the north end of the bay, sandier as you get to the south end of the bay. And that stuff they dredge on the south end, they take out offshore to that beneficial use area. And then it winds up making its way onto the south side of Dolphin Island. That's a whole other conversation. We're going to have Mayor Collier on with us on Monday. We'll talk about that. That's what that offshore disposal is. Goes on to say, because of the vast amount of sediment that flows into Mobile Bay from the 15,000 miles of inland waterways through the Mobile Tensaw Delta, without all four material management options, Alabama will have a $366 million sub-50-foot channel that it cannot keep dredged to 50 feet. So that's been the argument. And Maggie writes more, and maybe I can post this up or you can find it on their social media. They're saying that they can't do it without using this thin layer placement, that they can't, as one of the methods, they can't make it work dollars wise, but it's happening other places. Now, the problem is, too, the state of Alabama is going to have to kick in some money on this. It's not all federal from the Corps. Okay. And there's a money issue. Thin layer placement is going to be cheap, right, to do. But there are certain times that you got to pay some money, and other ports are doing just this, keeping their ports deepened and widened without doing this thin layer placement. So I am for, Mariner, I am for the port, and I'm not worried about the power brokers, but I think both things can happen. call me naive, but I think both things can happen there. And we come back, we'll talk about the meeting last night that was pretty well attended. 178, I think, Jim Ziegler wrote, that came out for that meeting last night about it. We'll get that and more of your texts when we return right here on Midday Mobile. We're in Daphne at Bryant Bank. Come see us.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. And we're live at Bryant Bank in Daphne. And animal adoption event going on until 2 o'clock today. As I said, the kitties and the puppies are flying off the shelves here. Y'all are making it happen. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Y'all stop on by. And even if you can't get here by 2, these animals are available for adoption. Get that new pet for the house. Or I'm looking for a new barn cat, so you can do that. Also, let me do this as well and heads up outside, my crew outside. Celeste, the next person to show up and stop in here, we're on 98 and Daphne Avenue right here in Main Street, Daphne, if you can stomp on by. One of those FM Talk 106.5 logoed buckets, the rope handle, the cool buckets, like, you know, the throw thing on the bottom, the whole nine, are waiting for you. If you stop on by, you'll see our van sitting right here at the corner. Just pull up there with a wistful look in your eye and say, hey, I'm here for the bucket. And we'll get you hooked up with that. Plus, we have some other FM Talk 106.5 goodies for you here. We've got stickers and huggers and all those other kind of things, too, that we could even put in the bucket for you, make it even bigger and better. All right. I wanted to mention we were talking about the dredging thing. So last night, the meeting, this is a story from Jim Ziegler over at 1819 News, said... Mobile Baykeeper organized a meeting. 178 people attended. That's a lot. I mean, I've gone to meetings about this kind of stuff. I've gone to meetings about when they're changing snapper regulations, all these things. And for 178 people to show up to something, I never saw that before. So that says something. That is for people to stop what they're doing on a Thursday night and go do something different. It says a lot. He goes on to say, the amount of sediment proposed to be pumped into Mobile Bay is massive. 90 million cubic yards over the next 20 years. Those who use Mobile Bay for recreational and commercial fishing said they can see what is happening. The mud is killing the oysters, shrimp, fish, and seagrass. And the seagrass is the key to so much of that, right? You've got to protect the grass, got to protect the oyster beds, and then everything else will follow suit. So the main target of the citizens' movement is in-bay disposal of maintenance dredge spoil. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. So the goal is to use the dredge spoil for beneficial uses, such as restoring the shoreline, the Dolphin Island Causeway, and building up beach erosion. Dredge that cannot be used for beneficial uses should be deposited offshore in the Gulf or on land. There's an additional cost to transport the spoil out into the Gulf or onto the land. The project SaveMobileBay.com has a two-part plan to stop dumping into the bay. One is legislation, and the second is litigation. The group encourages citizens to contact their federal representatives for the Mobile Bay area. That'd be Senator Tommy Tuberville, Senator Katie Britt, Congressman Barry Board, Congressman Shamari Figures. They are asking officials to support a quick step to halt the dumping and the long-term step. A quick step to halt the dumping and a long-term step. The model letter to the federal officials was given to all at the meeting. It explained a two-part legislative strategy. It says, quote here, please prohibit the Corps from using fiscal year 2026 funds to perform thin layer placement in the open waters of Mobile Bay and permanently ban the Water Resources Development Act of 2026, end quote. The meeting was open to the staff of all four federal officials. However, they gathered information only and did not speak. Mobile Baykeeper and others intended to go to court if the legislative approach doesn't work. They announced that they have obtained legal counsel. The Center for Biological Diversity, William Strickland, who's been on the show many times and will be back, who moderated the meeting, said the timeline for the first stage of legislative action and possible decision on whether to go to court will be in mid-June. A quote here says, we do not wish to halt the deepening and widening of the ship channel. The organization and the community are trying to stop the in-bay disposal of maintenance dredge spoil. Like in every other state, what cannot be used for beneficial projects should be deposited in a proper disposal area, such as offshore. All right. So there's. I want to say this. I would have been there last night at this meeting, but I did go I could only do one thing, and I will make other meetings in the future. But I was at the last night, a real special event, and thank you to so many of y'all that came out and got to visit with you last night. We were at the Waterfront Restaurant, not far from where I am right now, in Daphne, and a special event to benefit Warrior Legacy Ranch. That's my buddy Patrick Jump, and he's been on many times with us talking about what they're doing over there, and it was a fundraiser last night for Warrior Legacy Ranch. And in doing that, the personalities of Panini Pete, Nick DiMario, Sip and Chew were there, in effect, because there was food and drinks, so Sip and Chew were there. My man Tom Claxton and more Marines from the P.O. Wilson Detachment were there as well. And I don't know what the totals were. Oh, C.B. Carl was there. So, I'm missing people on this list. I visited with a lot of folks last night. But a really good turnout. And I don't know the total raise, but it had to be pretty darn good. Look at the number of people came in and took part in the raffles and the auction and all that good stuff that went on. But don't forget, so this continues. And a big, big thank you. And I've met with some of the guys, the Baldwin County Home Builders, that have really stepped up in a big way to help this build for the Gulf Coast Veterans Community Resource Center at Warrior Legacy Ranch. Big thanks to them stepping up and our community. We're going to get this thing done. We're going to get it done. Of course, the spearhead on this is Patrick Jump. A Marine veteran, but they're the whole community. And if you haven't ever seen what I'm talking about, you can go to their website, or just if you want to go, if you're on social media, if you go to Warrior Legacy Ranch, and you can see the mock-ups of what this building's going to look like and the purpose of this building. It's a thing that's really needed. I was ignorant when I first started talking to Patrick about it. I thought we had things like this for our veterans to get together. In the years after their service, and we didn't. And Patrick stepped up and, put his foot down and got the property and got this started. And so as a community here, we continue to push for this. And it was really a great event. And I enjoyed the time at the Waterfront Restaurant last night. So thank you to so many people that came out last night. But don't forget, the event's done, but there's still need for funding Warrior Legacy Ranch. Look them up on the web or on social media, just Warrior Legacy Ranch. All right, there's C.B. Carl, who I saw last night. He said, hey, Sean, we don't need another animal, but if you got any of those awesome Murder Point oysters, we can reconsider. Great time last night. Yeah, there should be a law that my friend Lane Zerline from Murder Point Oysters and I should not be allowed together because we start trouble. And we did last night, too, so it's always good to see Lane. Billy D said, hey, Sean, the first union ever developed was for the IBEW electrical workers. That's where it all began. It's interesting to, like I said, I have a view, like there, you would think somebody does, has some of the political beliefs I do, would dislike every union ever. That's not true. You look back in history. There were some times absolutely unions were needed. Now, are they bastardized now? Sure they are. And I just imagine the Starbucks people on strike because they don't like their new uniform color combinations is something. Jerry, I don't know where maybe we can post this. Jerry said, has sent me a screenshot here. They're looking for a missing diver. If that pin on there, Jerry, is that what it is on there? The lat long, is that pin? It looks like it's over more to the east of us, right? Yeah, that looks like it's that Pensacola area. Looking for a missing diver. Spread the word if anybody's out there today. If anybody wants to, I guess send a screenshot here of the lat long of that. Matt, hey Sean, if we had a strong governor who would threaten to special session them the whole damn summer, maybe we'd make some headway. Yep. But it's not going to happen, Matt. But Fire Dog says, unions had their place 70 years ago with OSHA and other government entities. I know government, but still, the unions of the 30s would laugh at these weak Starbucks baristas. Yeah. I mean, like I said, can you imagine taking a meat packer or a coal miner from back then and saying, yeah, they're using collective bargaining now, too, because they don't like the way they have to wear a black shirt with the green apron. High Plains Drifter on the text line, which, by the way, if I was to get a texting nickname for the station, I would steal that from you because it's awesome. Said, I work at the state docks. Wouldn't Gilliard Island man-made use mud, dirt, sand to make another island? All right, so this is where we can nerd out on this stuff. And I don't. So that is one of the discussions that's been happening. Yes, you're correct. Gilliard's, you know, man-made. I think I've talked about this on the air. It's funny, I had a texter that said, I can't believe we didn't run into each other. Because I talked about the days of getting on Gilliard Island when I was young. I think statute of limitations has run, so I can't get in trouble. But it is not only a place to put the dredge spoil, it's become a real good place, not just the pelicans to roost, but so many shorebirds to nest. It's a very good thing. So High Plains Drifter, there's a discussion, there had been a few years ago, that one of these little memos came out about an idea, and I think I was the only person in town that looked at it and started calling about it. They were talking about doing another idea. It wouldn't be just like Gilliard. It was going to be more of like a intertidal marsh zone. And I think that's a great beneficial use for the dredge spoil. Now, my issue back then with it was where they were talking about putting it. There, it was down the Tensaw Bar, I think, if I remember correctly. There's already grass growing there. So I would like to see this put in deeper water where there's not already grass beds. Because, you know, in our grass beds, if you spend time in the bay and the delta, just depends on how much salt you get in a given year. Some years, you know, the grass beds move north and south depending on the salinity or lack thereof, you know, on the year. Some years they're way further south. Some they crawl back up to the north. But I'd like to put this structure in deeper water where there's no grass beds right now and create a marsh and be able to do that. So it had been discussed before and make another one of these. But it would, the way I remember the plans, High Plains Drifter, look more like just raised marsh versus the straight levee, you know, like you do the circular levee at Gilliard. Let's see. B-Dark says, thank you, sir. I was a coal miner's daughter. They're like veterans. Yep. If it wasn't for the coal, they would not have made steel in Fairfield, Alabama. That's right. Or the ore out of Red Mountain. Big. Yeah, the reason Birmingham did what it did, right? It had the stuff in the ground they needed and said, tell the dredging to take it home. Let's see. CA on the text line said, hey, Sean, the people of Sims are sick of beach traffic. Will 98 ever be completed? These are questions. I mean, they got it kind of completed, right? We'll come back and answer some of those when we return from the Mallory Piping text line. Plus, the James Comey thing, if he would have just said OU812, it would have been a lot better, right? You hear that story of what Comey's up to? We'll get to that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. Good time to check in with my friend Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ron, a couple months ago when we started talking about the gold looks like it's going to take a run. You said, yeah, Sean, I think it's going to take a run up. You should have that framed up in the shop, man. Yep. It has been something.
Yes, it has. Well, it's corrected since the tariffs deal with China was announced, and gold's trading just under $3,200 an ounce. It was actually over $3,200, almost $3,300 yesterday, but Friday tends to be a profit-taking day, so Fridays generally are a good day for people to add to their hedge or add to their investment, or just the people that just plain old stack gold and silver. Silver's up a smidge today, gold's down a smidge, so it holds steady. We've been selling graduation gifts like there's no tomorrow, so a lot of people hear about the store and been coming in buying American Silver Eagles and engravable items and other gifts for people's graduations.
Yeah, we could talk about silver. I wanted, but by the way, so Ron is so measured. He's like, the profit taking this. That. If you go back a year, I mean, gold was what, $2,600 an ounce or something like that, $2,500
yep,
an ounce?
Yes, sir. $2,500, yep.
Yeah, so give yourself some grace on that, man. Oh, there's a down a little bit today, Sean. Yeah, but over a year, it's just crushed it. So silver, which, you know, that's, you know, what I've been buying from y'all over the years. Give me the story on silver right now. You think it's got some headroom?
I do. Silver is actually, I mean, gold's outperformed silver for years, which is why the ratio got up to a little over 100 to 1 as far as 100 ounces of silver to trade for 1 ounce of gold. But in the last few weeks, silver's made up a little bit of ground, so it's just under 100 ounces to trade now. And then you read all the different news for the most uses in, like, China's up this year for non-recoverable uses, where they use it in items that it's basically not recoverable anymore, the TV, LCD screen, stuff like that. And, of course, there's a lot of silver supply in the world, but not unlimited, so the more and more TVs they manufacture, and you can't go to any store without seeing large screen TVs on sale. And, of course, one of the biggest components in those TV LCD screens is silver.
See, I love that, I always learn stuff from you, but, like, you know my Achilles heel. You know, I love to learn, like, the real uses for, like, the precious metals are pretty, but I'm so utilitarian that it really, it makes me tick to know the. It's like what you did with platinum and palladium when you, because I said, why is this stuff so valuable? And he said, well, Sean, they use it in catalytic converters. I went like, oh, aha, okay, I get it.
Yes, sirree.
Okay.
And so, like I say, graduation's going well, Sean. We had most of our sales with numbers, not by dollars, but by numbers of people have been this week, have been people coming in for graduation gifts. So glad to see that happening.
Yeah, good to get those kids graduated, too.
Yes, sir. Get them off to college and spend more money.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct. All right. Tell folks how to find you if they want to swing by and talk about these precious metals or check out graduation gifts or jewelry or all that kind of good stuff.
We're located in Midtown Mobile at 2204 Government Street. They can call us at the shop at 251-725-1590 or can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. There goes Professor Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, so the Comey thing, I know, you know, Dan Dalton talked about it a good bit this morning. Is he that dumb? Because I don't think he's that dumb. But maybe he is. So this is, you know, the ex-FBI chief, Comey, who had the social media post where he put up 86-47, right? So get rid of 47 out of, you know, and now, of course, Trump is going to be on Bret Baier tonight. I know Dalton had a clip where President Trump is saying, you know, he's asking to assassinate him, which would be, you know, if Comey was say, well, I didn't really mean assassinate him. Do you know you're talking about the guy that two time? Have we forgotten? You can be a biggest non-Trump fan out there that twice somebody tried to kill him. And you put up this post. It was here's a Fox News story says. Secret Service is investigating after ex-FBI Director James Comey posted an Instagram photo of seashells arranged to show the numbers 86-47. A message White House officials swiftly condemned as an attempt to put out a hit against the 47th president. Comey later deleted the post after an online backlash from government officials, lawmakers, and President Trump, Donald Trump's son. Trump has faced two assassination attempts in the past year, one of which resulted in him being shot and a bystander being killed. I'll put out murdered. The post included the alleged hit, showed numbers in question etched in the sand at a beach using seashells. Comey captioned it, "Cool shell formation on my beach walk." End quote. He's probably put in a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? Says, while to some people the numbers may appear innocuous, 86 is frequently used to call sign for murdering or getting rid of someone, while 47 has been interpreted as denoting the 47th president of the United States. After backlash on social media over the posts, including from at least one lawmaker who called for Comey to be arrested, the ex-FBI chief deleted the Instagram post and posted a message addressing it. He said this, "I posted an earlier a picture of some shells I saw on a beach walk, which I assumed were a political message. I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down." End quote. This is what I'm saying. Is he dumb? He's not a moron to gotten to it, but you put it up. Did you not think, is he that dense that he's, and people say, well, you know, that's been posted up before, people that are against Trump, but like that's some person out there just putting it up, right? Still says what it says, but not the ex-FBI director. And then if he... then he takes it down, saying he didn't know. I mean, it's either way he goes. Either you do it, you stand by it, or you don't do it. I mean, he didn't put up OU812, you know, like a Van Halen album cover. I mean, he didn't do that. 86-47. And he said, oh, I don't know. I can't believe people were upset by that, and so I took it down. I mean, shut up. I mean, it's just, I guess the crawfishing on this bothers me as much as the initial, maybe not as much, but it bothers me too. I mean, the former FBI director has no more worldliness or intelligence to say he knows what that means. Come on. Come on. All right. Let me read a couple more texts here from the Mallory Piping text line. Dirt Digger says, why don't we take some of the sand and raise the causeway so it won't keep going underwater? I got an idea for the causeway. Dirt Digger is one of the things that probably got me involved with groups like Baykeeper back in the day. I think we should remove sections of the causeway and make them raised like the Bayway is, so the water can do what it's supposed to do, is come in and out, and silt can move like it's supposed to. Well, that's just me. I'm just some hayseed. Hal says the Corps destroyed the second largest oyster bed in Mobile Bay when they built Yo Yard Island. They put it right on top. Yeah, I've heard that as well. All right. We'll have to pick up these texts next week, or you can chime in tomorrow morning during FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I'm out of here. Big thank you to everybody at Bryant Bank for having us out. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.